Ness Neal.
Senator Bell left here.
We're with Chris Maschable. Great, Chris Maschable. Yeah, yeah.
Hey guys.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. A professional here.
At Brooklyn Horror Film Festival. And we are, well, we have been very fortunate to have already seen this fantastic film. And yeah, and when is it screening here?
I think it's Friday. Was
in already.
Oh, yeah. All right. How was 13? How
it
go?
It was great. I really enjoyed it. I didn't. Well, I didn't sit in the movie theater, but I.
Was that a decision of yours not to sit with the in the theater? Or?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like
they kicked you out. I guess.
No, they didn't kick me out, but yeah, I watched it. I watched it once at Fantastic Fest when everyone had left and I was the only one there, and I was kind of like, okay, now I can watch it. But one of the times at Fantastic Fest that was great was it was playing at two different theaters at the same time. So I would just like dip into each theater and show like, okay, so this is working there. So
that has different responses. Did they all wiggle feet out for each other? Like one place gets a lot of crowds.
Well, you know,
figure it out.
A lot of my people who helped me make the movie were in one theater. So I was there for that. And then I was like, okay, let me go to the one where no one knows. You know, like, of course, they're going to be laughing for me or staring or whatever the emotion should be. But yeah, it seems to be connecting and doing its job.
Yeah, for people who aren't aware, who weren't here at Fantastic Fest, can you give them an idea of what Front Catcher is?
It's about a guy who is being extorted on the night of his honeymoon, and the waiter from his wedding has something on him, some video, and they want him to invest in his project, which is called the Crumb Catcher, which is a device that helps the customer sweep their own crumbs off the table.
Yeah, it's very
beautiful.
Yeah.
I'm very shy.
Very proud of that. My friend Jen Seward built it, or designed it, and then we had a couple different people building it. But yeah,
it's like a classic.
That was my whole thought, was that the villain in the movie, John Spinelli.
It's amazing.
Yes. I mean, there was, in other drafts, there were more stories about, like, cause I think that his father had an old Cadillac when he was a kid, so he was sort of in that world. And he's very, like, American-made, like, and this kind of person. So it was intentional.
Yes. Well, just that playing with him checking out this other car, and, oh, what kind of car? What the...
Right.
So, yeah, that was great. I bumped into Rigo last night.
Oh, great.
What a great actor. Like, everybody does so well, but I thought, here's a guy that I feel like I shouldn't like because of some of his choices.
Yeah.
But I can't help but feel for him. Not the man, the character.
No. That was a struggle to find an actor that can do that, because, you know, if you're like classic, like, here's this dude, you know, the worst thing is you don't want it to be like he wakes up and just be like, oh, this again, like, oh, again? You know, so you just don't want that. And Rigo is, you know, a very, very likable person, and also the opposite of this character. And I just, you know, I think sometimes, I forget what director had said this, but they said something about that you should cast for who the character becomes, not who the character is when the movie starts. And I think Shane, I hope, finds that thing where he becomes better. I mean, always trying to be better. It's a full-time job.
Was there an inspiration for the story itself?
It started as a person who didn't want to be at his own wedding, a person who had a lot of opportunities, but I don't know, was scared or just can't accept the love that is being given to him by his woman, potential like things in his career. And then, and I think that was sort of the seed to sort of, it was always sort of like a redemption to become the person you were supposed to be on your wedding night. And I think it was about finding that. And I was, I got the blackmail plot because I was watching a lot of Marie Scorsese stuff. And like Cape Fear, I really loved that one. And it just sort of went from there. And you know, you don't want characters who are like, give me the money, you know. You want a character, yeah, like, I want the painting, you know, or something, or it's, you know,
just... That's much more interesting anyway. Yeah. I always find in a movie, if the motivation is just money, it's like, it kind of takes me out of it. It's like, that's kind of typical.
Well, it's like, that's the thing on the surface.
Right.
They want money for this project.
Yeah, the idea of warping this invention, it's like, you know.
Well, I think he wants to be loved.
Yeah.
And that's where the...
Belonging.
Yeah. And I think the sense of him getting that money is that he is, well, he's whatever. And, you know, I think a lot of times when I'm working on characters, you just want to like have people be opposite and you kind of help reflect each other and expose maybe some flaws or highlight some things that are better when you're like, that guy sucks. And you're like, oh my God, that guy's terrible.
Yeah.
And then you're kind of can, I don't know, illuminate something maybe. But yeah, I love the idea of like John being this person that's so desperate for love and attention. Shane being the guy who's the exact opposite, you know, and like Rose being someone who can't stand her husband and wants to be rid of him. And then a woman who just wants him to be who she believes he can be, you know. So it starts there. And I love like absurdists. Movies that just like, is this real? Is this my dad? Or is this one?
How about the Chrome Catcher itself? Was where did the idea, like, you know,
want this?
Well, you know,
it reminded me of an experience I actually had when I was in London, and we went to probably a fancier restaurant than I thought we were going to, and the waiter kept coming over with, it was almost like a credit card, and he would scrape,
yeah,
and then do all the crumbs, and I was like, this is very unnecessary.
You go better than,
yeah, when I go to restaurants when other people are paying for them, the fancy restaurants,
yes.
Yeah, they're always there, but that's not really, well, my lady is in she manages restaurants, and so she's very much in that world. And you know, when it became that this guy was a waiter, he just wanted to be who he is in some way. And and I like the idea, like I sort of start like, what would the character, like what does he care about? And I think that he's a very loud, obnoxious type person who's just like, but he's kind of aware, you know? And I think his awareness came out through this product. Like, he's like, these people are being annoyed by me. Oh, it's probably,
yes,
because this, so I'll fix that.
Yes.
And I also love the, you know, at the bank, when you're going to deliver or cash a check or deposit a check, that the bank tellers are always like, oh no, you just go to the ATM. And they're like selling themselves out of the job.
Right, right, yeah.
You know, and
yeah, that's
just the classic thing that like the corporations are just moving towards that thing of more robots doing things or more, you know, machines.
Yeah.
I was going to mention your social commentary. Like it's right off the bat. There's this poor guy just trying to live all around him. And yeah, not respected at all. They're like, oh, you have talent that we can use. Mm-hmm. And it just seems like he's perceived as very low. And even the comments about, I think even the waiters said something that was sort of like a new people sort of comment.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's doing this classic, in one of the earlier parts, he's like blaming like, oh, the cake and you know, we got this new guy, Mateus, you know, and like, he was like,
yeah,
more of a language thing. And I feel like it's like, I know when talking to Rigo as we were developing the character and developing the script, he was always like, he would bring up comments like that people are like so unaware.
Yes.
What's going on? Yeah.
It's
microaggressions. And obviously he's got a reason to have microaggressions when you carry through the film, you see what's going on. But also just like, I don't know if I would say this poor guy, because he put himself in the situation. I think it's a, you know, there's this one book, right? It's called Morality of Fiction. And they talk about, like, if a character dies, does she deserve to die? that she deserves to die. And the only one who doesn't deserve to die is Ella, Lee.
Yeah.
Because she didn't, I mean, maybe she pushes her husband too much, but
yeah,
I like to think about that also in like, because I feel like if you're just here, not doing anything, you just start getting tortured, it's just torture. It's not, and it's masochistic. It's not where it's existential. Whereas like with this movie, it's like, I really didn't want it to be existential. I didn't want it to be like, he didn't do anything.
Yeah.
It should have been of his own morality.
Yeah.
Is what got him into the situation. That I think that's really what makes horror become a story and not a gimmick.
Very much so. And I think that's something in all good stories. It's kind of like, what is the path of man? The path of man has to do with questions of morality, right, wrong, twists, need.
Yeah. So, and you're sort of like creating this torture device for this character that's perfectly fit and tailored to him.
Yes.
And to push him to become the, you know, to be the person.
You said a horror, and the horror is like very broad genre. It's like, you know, some people may argue this is in horror, it's a thriller or whatever.
I don't know what horror is. Yeah. I mean, I'm just saying in terms.
It's kind of annoying to me when people argue.
I mean, I don't really know. I mean, I'm definitely not the person to talk about it, but I do think that, you know, it just becomes more pornographic if it's just like people going into the woods, happy couple. And I feel like there's been a lot of talk in the script development with when it's past hands and we're discussing is that they speak a lot about like, oh, we need to be each other, we need to like them, but there's, yes, you need to empathize with them and understand where they're coming from. But I think in this situation, I just wanted him to be real. And I think sometimes I was talking to someone about this because I got this review that I was annoyed with. And, you know, and I feel that you need to, like if you design a character so they are likable and we're on their side and we just got married and this thing happens, it becomes a roller coaster ride. And it's an amusement park of sorts. And then, but if you make them real and damaged and they did this to themselves, then it becomes like you're watching people on a roller coaster ride.
Oh.
You know, and I think if people want the roller coaster ride, they think, you know, but then they really want, the reason why people love movies is because it's like, you know, I go through something in my life and then I feel like I'm alone. And then I watch like a Bergman movie and I'm like, oh, I know what that, someone else felt that too, or someone else feels that pain or that thing. And I think that's what people, why they are attracted to this art form. But I think sometimes people don't know how to talk about it.
I know, well, as I say, I know you worked with Larry Fessenden a lot. So how did that come about? And what kind of advice has he given to you? You know,
so much. So, I mean, it's hard because I've just known him deeply for a long time. And it's hard to just point one thing, you know. And I think he has a tenacity. And I think the biggest thing I would say I took away from him is, like, he doesn't let... you shouldn't look for permission to do what you want to do. You know, in art, and like, you shouldn't be like waiting for these people to approve to do it. And you know, Larry's always been kind of the first seed that kind of gives permission in a way. You know, like, you can do it outside the box. Like, that's the way they do it. You don't have to do it that way. And I think doing that, I think you need to see, you need to see it as a, like, you just need to take your indie sensibility and not say like, oh, it sucks and I wish I get the bigger movie. You need to look at it as an advantage. Like, how is it great that I'm small? How is it great that I can pick up the phone and call Ella Rigo? why is that my best asset? And I think that's a lot of what Larry speaks of. And then Larry and I are just very similar in like stories we like to tell. Very similar sensibilities. And we're sort of opposites in a way that I'm like always sort of. Well, I think when Larry writes or when he makes something, he's very intuitive. I sort of think of him as like a Jackson Pollock kind of a artist that's just like emotion, and he's, you know, he's sort of just like, and he tweets, of course, endlessly. But I do think that I'm always like, what is that red doing there? You know, and like, why is that there? Should that be a little more purplish or whatever? So I'm in that, and it drives him insane. But he loves it.
Well, I was gonna say, you also worked with as a cinematographer on his film. So did you do that on your own film?
No. There's a wonderful DP called Adam Carboni who came in. It was just such a wonderful spirit and such an intuitive artist. So lucky to have us. I'm just so lucky to have so many different things. I didn't have to hope I don't fuck it up, because it's so, you know, the character is it's similar to me. Self-sabotage.
Yeah. But how does that experience help you as a director, like working as a cinematographer?
I liked it when I was working with Larry on that movie, and it was also, I shot it with another collaborator, James Stewart. It was nice because I feel that in a way you can be a little bit more open to whatever it can be. And I think you just have to not be like, oh, this is my idea and I'm going to get it in. You just have to be like receptive and how you can build on their ideas. And I think, especially if you trust the director, it's like they say, this is what it is. And then you're like, that's a great place to start. What about this? And then he's like, maybe that. And then we're get into it. And again, back to the like OCD versus sort of expressionistic, or not expressionistic, yes. but sort of. Yeah. But I was usually the one that was like, can we do one more take? We have it. And I'm like, just one more. He's like, that was sort of the relationship. But, you know, always fighting for what the director wants, and you know, I'm working on a project now, helping somebody else who helped me along the way, and yeah, it's just when all of the details and all the blame or success will be on you at the end of the day for this movie, it's like an incredible amount of anxiety and sort of pressure, and to sort of be next to someone who's dealing with that, you're sort of, you know, it's more, much more freeing. And
how critical it is, collaborative processing. Do you feel like as you go forward in your career, is this something that you will really need to bring into everything? Have that.
You mean collaboration?
Yes.
Like with other people? Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, when I could tell someone is trying to figure it out, I'm very much with them. And it's just steering clear from maybe certain personalities that are like this works. This is how it's done. And I can get very standoffish. But when someone's thinking something different that I trust and believe in, you know, and also I feel like the one takeaway of like this movie in general is that you, you know, when you have these great artists, these actors, if you believe in them and you think they are like the greatest, you know, then they give it right back to you and they believe in you. And I think then you're sort of, your reach is endless or further than horse without them. And I think going in and just doubting people and this is just, it just becomes, yeah, you just have to, you know, love gets more love, hate gets more hate.
We mentioned the villain in the movie, but had you worked with him before? And did once you cast him, did that change the character at all? Because like just when I see him, like I think he's like perfect. Like I can't imagine anyone else playing the character.
Well, yeah, I wrote it for him, and then as you try to, you know, get all the money for the movie, you stretch the character, you think about what that could be like, And then when I, during COVID, we still had our actors that were, you know, great, great people that were signed up to the movie. But I just was like, if I strip this down and I do it with my friend, which, you know, Rigo's a long time, and John, you know, and it's also a friend, we did a movie called Stray Bullets, which is Larry Sun's movie, Jack Fessman. And he was in that. He's just like he gives everything. He gives all of it. And like, you know, he's off screen. Ella's in the car. He's like not even in the car. He's like way over there. He's like dropping down off his knees. I don't know how old he is, but that probably hurt. I mean, it hurt me. But he just like every take where it's like, dude, stop it. Please stop doing this. Like, I'm like, do it for me when I'm on. Like, I don't want you to stop doing it, but just not right now.
Well, he was so fantastic. And I think, you know, he's got this perfect balance with his wrist. So this would be a non-intimidating guy by what he's saying and how he's presenting himself, other than being creepy, but his physical presence is like you kind of have that sense of, what would happen if this guy was...
Yeah.
So I just think it's so great because he is so... There's so much madness in him. It's just wonderful. It's funny that you mentioned that he's looking for love because I think of this person as someone who seems like they've probably been disempowered their whole life because their personality style, and that this here's someone who's looking for every possible way to have power. Getting in fights with his wife the whole time, like trying to control situations. Hopefully I'm not saying giving anything away.
No, I mean, I honestly don't. I don't care because it's like, I don't think you can really give too much away from a movie that it's not about. Even though I watch it. Still.
Well, a lot of those movies, when you watch them, not to talk about Sixth Sense or Fight Club, but then when you watch them again, like you watch them a different way because then you're watching for like clues of.
Well, you watch the hand of the director a little bit more, or the hand of the writer. But to speak about John, I think he's a guy who things kind of went his way for a good portion of his life, and then he made this thing and he did every, you know, it's sort of the thing that I have a lot of fear about is that, like, that I'm aware that I can make things look beautiful and I know how to aesthetically know what I'm doing, but there's this fear, like it's the idea of stupid, you know. And I think it's like it doesn't matter how many whip snaps of a card and, you know, how well he's going to design this for sure or whatever the thing is, it's like at the end of the day, like, are you, you know, in the trailer Leah's like, I don't think the customer wants their own cards. It's just like the inception or the inception of where this came from is fast, you know. And it was sort of like, I remember when I was developing it, I was, you know, doing these sketches of what it should look like, and Larry loved the idea and he was just like, oh, honey, I want a firm catcher, you know, like it should be on the side of like your
then you could just
and then you would just, so when you're cooking, you would just like, oh, you don't need those ends of the carrots. What do they?
Yeah, I've worked as a line cook for a long time, and they've got like this trough here, here on the grill. Absolutely.
So he was so like, purposeful. "Oh, it should be like, he's like, I could definitely use that. That would be great." And I was like, "No, it It should be.
It should be. Right.
It should not be useful.
Because that would say that he's that would say that he's useful,
right?
And I think that that's the problem. And I think And I think with John and Shane, like from John's point of view, it's like, oh, Shane's getting all this attention because he's like a person of color right now, and he's this and that, and it's like, and he feels that he's being disenfranchised because, you know, and it's a. It's a lot of this, like, grass is greener on the other side, and I feel like with all of this, I just don't really come at it in a way that this is who's right, this is who's
yeah,
right. And even with the book and the wife, and what's happening with that, I don't really side with either of them. I think in moments I side with somebody, and then another moment I side absolutely with them. But I think that's where you start to get this, like, you know, if you're in your own world and you're like, oh, that guy screwed me, this and that, and it's like, no, well, maybe you took too much time and he's got another job. He's got,
yeah.
And I think it's just, you know, with drama, it's just, you have to live in everyone's shoes or it's just going to be flat, you know?
People are out.
Yeah, absolutely. And sometimes you need characters that are simplistic. And you know, I think Rose is like that at first. She kind of played, and I was playing her as a trope, and then, or we went, no, an archetype. Basically, like, I wanted her to be that archetype, and then again, she's not that archetype at all. Yeah. And it's like,
I'm
what
so
people
proud of her.
Yeah, and also it's like how and very focused. From the start as like being a single perspective movie in the way of like how Polanski is and the point is that I think you see it all from Shane, but you don't quite get people's perspective at first. You sort of are slowly like adding everything up, and then you get to see what Rose is really dealing with. I mean, you get little hints of it. And then they, you know, arrive at this place. And I also just like want, I remember I was making a short film and I wanted it to feel like a photograph, where, you know, you go to, you're looking through these books and it's like,
and you're looking for the entrance to the bar. Is that what you're looking for? No. You're trying to find the entrance.
Oh, just see us.
You know, you go to garage sales or whatever,
no,
and you get snapshots of like your family birthday party or something, and you're like, you have no understanding who these people are. They're not celebrities, they're not this, they're not that, but like, this is a real moment, and you can imagine what the outside is, but you don't really know.
Oh, yeah,
and
that means
scale, or just like you put yourself into it or whatever, but I anyway, the short film I was talking about, I want it to be like not explain that much, but it was just to be stiff. And like, because I think that if you close everything up, just forget it immediately. But if it's a photograph, it's this moment, and you're like, it's like almost like a wound, you know, that is not healed yet. You're sort of like picking at it, like, what was that? And I tried to do that with From Petrovsky. It's much bigger movie, so the landscape is, or the canvas is bigger, but I still tried to do that thing where, like, finding something satisfying to end on that's both small and just kind of like, but emotionally big. But also just try not to give too much away.
Definitely do.
And also the way that we chose to open it was like, you know, and I felt like that was the perfect amount of information that people needed. With like the photographer asking all these questions. And you just sort of like, but they're kind of playing around and lying and being joking. So you're like, what's the, you know? and still trying to figure it out. So,
we're at First and Horror Film Festival. What are the benefits of playing this
from well, just like seeing it, although I didn't. I think, you know, this is something Larry talks about a lot. It's like that films are abandoned, not punished. I think that's a quote from somebody else, but he always says it. And I think it's like these first steps of like abandonment that are happening. Sort of like, that's why I kind of don't even want to see it. I don't want to have it finish there. Just like when I came at it, give it away and just sort of see what people do. And, you know, talking to people and seeing what connected with them and what didn't, what, and then me telling them why they're wrong.
I like that answer. And, and I don't know if it's too early, but where does Crime Catcher go after the film?
We're out and about looking for love.
Yeah. Like mostly these are.
Like, right.
Yeah, I don't remember. Yeah. And where can people follow you to see what you're up to? Right now,
I have a Instagram about CJ Scott. Hold it there. I don't know. I post things when it happens, but we're, you know, it's interesting. I was talking with my sales team, and you know, we were like, oh, do we apply to all these other festivals and that? It's kind of like, well, if you, a lot of films can make this mistake to go to all the different genre festivals, and then by the time I put out the podium, hopefully those figure audience, I can't play it, but like, a lot of the people that would be hyped to like be the first one in line.
Right.
And they already saw it and they loved it. But, so that's the sort of, you know, as
I think the idea at that point then is, and I don't know, and not saying the movie is or isn't this, at that point then it's like you have to put out like kind of special that has a lot of extras. And I don't know.
Like a Blu ray.
Right. I don't want to mean a thing if it's played all these, all the festivals.
Of course. Well, I'd have. Fun to scrap, but I'll probably, if I find the time, I would definitely want to put something together.
All right, looks like that's a good thing. So what are you working on currently, or are you working on it?
Yeah, I'm working on a strip right now that's different in tone but kind of has a similar energy in it. But yeah, hope to be hope this next one is in his part to get off the ground. First one's always difficult. First one's always the most difficult to get off the ground, but then you put everything into it. And then maybe the second one's easier, but they'll believe you when they say you're great. That's why a lot of second movies are not good. Put so much love and attention and like, oh, they didn't like it. Okay, well, I'm going to make the script better. I mean, like, you know, I'm going to work hard.
Try to appease the people.
Or just like, what am I trying to do? What is that? You know, not to like, I try to like listen, but then not listen at the same time. Like just have the seed of what they're talking about and then find a way. Because usually there's suggestions about that. But what they're saying is personally correct. But they're saying something that's true, you know? Or trying to say something straight, you know? Anyway, and I think that there's very few people in this business who have taste. I can use but I think that when you have a success, people read something and they don't know how to, or maybe they don't really know how to read a script and they're just like, oh, he's doing it, it's going to be great. But then you kind of can fall into that trap of like, I don't think it's crazy. I just think it's like people are like, they're giving the money right away. And I think that there's a whole thing about, you know, I think there's a thing about that if you solve problems with money, you do the easiest things. Like you do these things. So, and if you have to solve things in a different way, and then have to sort of figure out exactly what it is, it becomes, you know, so it's, I think there's ways. You just have to always be. That's why, you know, you gotta trust people. And so we're like, just people who are close to you. Always a very close time, close friends. When I was a kid, yeah, usually just pitch them the mouth verbally. I'm like, they're not lying to me. They're not getting anything out of this. I try to focus on those people and see what good resonates for some first.
And then done.
And not like, oh, it's been away.
You let me let out.
What happened?
Well, so we said it.
That's been left to go help them.
Yeah.
Genuinely, but so, it wasn't a full life.
Here we go.
No, it was great. It was great.
So,
I think honestly very
oh yep. Yeah. Which to me is important. We see a lot of movies and even if something's technically well made, if it's very running bill, I think that's like the most
yeah, also he's just
No.
You start with other things.
Yes.
No, but it is because if they're like, oh, the first thing you got the sound design is cool. It's like, you know what I mean? Because they're like, yeah, like your choice of shoes in that movie. So,
I'll remember that.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you want to hide.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Well, thank you.
All right.
Yeah, it's been next great.
Guy. I'm sorry for totally butchering that.
It's all good.
Bye.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah,
bye.
Thank you.